Is the Republican Party the party of a big tent, or only those that we accept who look at our values and are willing to accept those? That's our topic tonight. Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Fired Up. And first of all, a little bit of inside baseball. We've actually been recording this podcast for a few minutes, but I did not hit the record button. So this is our second go-round, and I want to introduce you to two ladies who are from Lexit. One is the president of the San Diego chapter, and the other is the vice president, and God bless them for their patience, because I would have been angry had I been in their shoes. But I have brought them on board tonight because we are going to talk about the Republican Party convention, and specifically a tweet by Matt Walsh over him being upset that Amber Rose got a primetime speaking slot. And I kind of paused here. I didn't know how to present it because Amber Rose is not what you would call your typical, traditional, or even a Republican. And she was given the slot that people will fight and spill blood over every 4 years to get. So let me bring the ladies in, and then we will get right down and into this topic. Hello, ladies. First of all, my apologies again. First, we have Martha, the president. Martha, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go to Anna.
Hello, my name is Martha, and I've been the Lexit president of San Diego for about 3 years now. I'm the president here of the San Diego County, and we are Lexit stands for Latinos Exiting the Democrat Party, and we are going strong. We're boots on the ground here in San Diego, and we're helping our Latinos to vote their godly values. And so this is what Lexit does, and remind everyone to vote their godly values, because the Republican Party, we have lost our way spiritually, and allowing a lot of things to come in and destroy our foundation under God.
I understand. And Anna?
My name is Anna. I'm the VP of the San Diego chapter. And everyone likes it about 2.5 years now. And Martha couldn't have said it any better. But I'm a native of California, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you, William, for having us.
Well, thank you both for coming on. And for people out there, Lexit is a strong group, and it's a growing group still. And it is made up of Latinos. And we are in California. Going to be the number one demographic, and this sounds terrible, but I always joke that we're like cockroaches, we're everywhere, us Latinos, you're gonna have to deal with us in one form or the other. And as you can tell by looking at our skin complexion, we Latinos, we come in all kinds of colors, and I don't know if you two ladies know, but people don't recognize my family when we're together, because my mom looks so Asian. They called her China growing up, and my grandmother looks black. And even I, to this day, wonder, I'm like, how did this happen, but to me, that's the power of being Latino. I always tell people we are the one culture where you will find three generations in one home, and you will find various skin tones in that home. And yeah. I got into politics because of my skin color and the fact that our family goes from white to black, financially from the bottom to the top. Obviously, gender wise, every culture, you have your various genders. So, and by that, I mean, we have gay, straight, all that. But we try to look past all that because I come from a fundamentalist family. We're all family. And my point being is we all get along as on the Panamanian and Puerto Rican side. And I got into this. I'm like, we all need to get along. But I am with you ladies. I believe we have lost our way spiritually. I have had issues with my fundamentalist family. But I will be the first to tell you, I don't remember when, but some years back, it's just like, oh my God, we're lost spiritually. And that's why crime is up. That's why people no longer care. I believe, and here's the kicker. Whoever listens to this that I know and I talk to and I hang with daily or I go back, they're going to be shocked hearing this from me because they don't see this side because I just, they're not that type. You know, it just never comes up. But I do believe we've lost our way. I do believe spiritually we need to find our path back. I do believe that by having our foot with God, you know, or toe in the water, whatever you want to say it, but having God as part of our lives, we are nicer to one another. There's not as much crime. We help one another. People forget, and I don't know how old you are, but people don't realize in the 60s, government made a decision and literally cut the churches off at the knees by implementing all these regulations for and creating the nonprofit. Because prior to that, most of the charity work came from the churches. They dominated, but church and government aren't compatible in this sense. Government wants to control our lives. Government wants to be the father in our lives. They want to tell the mothers, you don't need a father. We're your father. Government wanted a hand, and they still do. And my proof, look how big government. Look what Gavin, I'm digressing. I warned you about this, but to prove my point, look what Gavin Newsom just signed into law in California. Mm-hmm. He just sat there and signed into law that teachers don't have to tell their parents if their child's are pronouns. And to me, they're going to lie and say, oh, no, it's just that. But we all know what that leads to. Puberty block on the down low, as my friend who's black always tells me, yeah, well, we're on the down low here. You know, what he means by that is nobody knows. And then from there, it goes to transitioning. And my take is, hey, if you're 18, you can make your own decisions. But until then, because people don't realize this. The human brain does not stop developing until you're about 20, in your mid-20s. So even at 18, we're not fully functioning in terms of being able to make the best decision. That's why we're young and brash, throw a little alcohol in the kid in the military, and then we're bigger idiots. So for
and
a child.
Also you're going to pay for the surgery if your child is, if you have an under 18 child in school and is ready to transition, it's coming out of the parents' pockets.
Yeah. And to me, Hillary made a classic statement, and I believe it's true in us being a community working with one another, but they kind of turn it into a monster. They kind of, what's the word? They kind of destroy it when she says it takes a village. What she was referring to is the government and the leftist way. Because when I sit there say it takes a village, I'm like, yeah, we're a community. We're the church. Right. We're neighbors. That's the village I believe in. No, the village they're talking about is big government. And this that big government. And I got to ask before we go on, we're all Californians here. Before we go into this, what are your thoughts about what Gavin Newsom did? Let's start with you first, Anna, real quick, your thoughts on this new law.
I think it's plain evil. I think it plays into a lot of the, I guess, the prophecies that are coming to fruition that the Bible spoke about, that we would be dealing with in the end times when you would be calling evil good and the good would be called bad or it would be called evil. That's really no other way to describe it, because in order for you to agree that you're, as a parent, you have no say on your child's permanently wanting to mutilate themselves, eventually getting to that point, and you as a parent have no say, and the school can keep that secret from you, there's no other motivation but an evil heart. And I really believe that's where it comes from. Not just from Gavin Newsom, but the people that he's surrounded by, they're just have evil in their heart.
Right. I agree. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing. And I'm not sure. We're such a blue state. I don't know how we can change it. Martha, your thoughts?
Well, it's disgusting and it's wrong because the kids are ours. They're not the government doesn't own our children. We do. We're the ones that decide what we want our kids to learn. And obviously they're teaching them all this confusion and regarding a boy, they're going to tell that boy, oh, you're a girl. It's okay to be a girl. And then telling the girl, yeah, it's okay to be a boy, and confusing the children. The children come home. They're depressed. They fall into depression. And I hear this from the parents. So I'm just speaking on what I have heard. The children come home. They're depressed. They even get suicidal. They have to be put on medication. This is the stuff that's going on with the children in public schools. I say, get your kids out of there. Get your kids out of there.
I agree. Yeah, but it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. Parents, you know, I mean, you can't even afford your rent, much less buy a house, so parents are forced to work. You know, yeah. I'm glad you said it. What I was trying to remember to say is, right now, this is where I was saying my friends would be shocked, is I truly believe we are at the doorsteps of Sodom and Gomorrah at that point in the Bible.
Yep.
You know, that's where I believe we are at. And I am very open, meaning I believe we have to live and let live in certain ways. But we've gone way too far. And there's this tale. I saw it on the internet, and it's true. It's a very simple tale. This parent, they posted on the on Twitter, when it was Twitter at the time, and they said, yeah, our little boy came home wanting to be a girl. You know, said he wants to be a girl. And he goes, they said, we didn't go running. Oh, look, we got, you know, they're all happy, like all these celebrity moms. Hey, I got a transgender kid. No, they sat their young boy down, who had an older sister, and they're like, well, what's this about? You know, so they were trying to talk to him. It turned out he thought his older sister was getting more attention, so he wanted to be like her. So he wanted to be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
How many families, the Jennifer Garners of the world, the Jolie, all these, I can't even think of their names, but all of a sudden, yeah, they're just all happy. I'm a transgender kid, and they go forward with that. Mm-hmm. And I truly wonder how many kids are going to be committing suicide when they get older. The suicide rate is abnormally higher than the nation's average with transgenders. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe some are. I did meet a transgender when they were born. The parents kept secret that they had an operation because he was born with female sexual organs inside and hormones. And he's always led an unbalanced life. So I believe there are those individuals out there, but they're such a small percentage, you know, and we can recognize them and we can treat them. We can try to help them. This man, he was a man, had a 6-figure salary, drove his wife to divorce him because he himself said it was stupidity. He goes, I was fighting myself inside and I was spending all our money showing I'm a man, buying the big truck, getting the guns, getting this. And he transitioned. Now, in this case, I defend. I'm like, okay, I see it. There's science behind what happened to you. There's a surgery. But that's the exception. That's the outlier. Now they want to normalize it, you know? And it's starting with these kids. And I got to be honest. I find it shocking that parents seem to be taking it, you know?
Yeah.
Because my thought process, you do that to my kid, you better get bodyguard protection. Because nobody's right. Going to – in my generation, I'm 57. That's how my parents were.
Yeah.
I was in Panama going to an American school. The teacher asked us to write down what we ate every day. Rice and beans. Every day, rice and beans. And it was fish one day, meat one day, pork chops one day. And she was like – she couldn't believe it. She said, is this what you eat rice and beans every day? I go, yeah. You know, I was first grade. You know, I didn't know. Yeah, we ate there. She wanted – a parent-teacher conference with my mother. Now, my mother, I was your classic, my family was your classic TV movie when you see the adult come in and the other adults talking to the child because the mother can barely speak English. Well, my older sister, who was literally a rocket scientist, went on to be one, almost be one, she came in. And my sister wailed into that teacher. Like, who the bleep are you to question what we eat? Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. We did have diversity in our meals. We had platanos or something on the side, you know, and a salad. And back then it was olive oil and vinegar. You know, there was a Thousand Islands or anything like that. So we had a little bit of a diversity in it. But it was also an era where people did try to understand. That teacher became my biggest champion. She took care of me, made sure, because she told my sister, I had no clue. I had no clue. And she acknowledged that she learned. That's not how it is today. Now it's a young 20-some-odd teacher. I know better than you, Mr. 30-some-odd-year-old parent. You know, so I know I digress, but that became a big story today. And the reason I think it's important to America, California wants in during the golden age, as California went, so did the nation. Not so much anymore, but this is something they want to try to do. There's been some other programs that California has done that Congress has tried to get going, but they haven't come out of committee. I'm drawing a blank on some of them, but they still want to do that. And this is a danger to our nation and to our children. But let's get back to the Matt Walsh. I apologize about that, but I think that's where Lexit is needed. That's where we've lost our godliness. That's where parents need to understand. Hey, you have a connection to your child spiritually as a father, mother. It's I don't know what word. You know, there's that special bond, you know, and they want to take that away. I don't mean to pry, but are you two ladies mothers?
Yes.
I am not.
Okay, so Martha, and I apologize, Anna. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. I don't have children either, but Martha, as a mother, taking politics, taking religion, taking everything aside, but just as a mother, how does that make you feel that somebody wants to hide this from you?
It just going to the school boards and speaking on the behalf of children in public schools, I get so angry, a righteous anger builds up in me, and I just, like, I can't believe that we are living in these times where they're taking the parental rights away. They're teaching this, they're sexualizing the children in public schools with these books, with cartoons, with different sex positions, and it's okay, and even pictures of homosexuals, and you know sexual positions of you know really bad content on there for the children to see, and confusing the children. It gets me angry. It makes me to think, where are the parents? Why are the parents not in these school boards? I go to these school boards and I really don't see too many parents. It's like,
yes,
you know, a lot of them, I believe, don't know, and the school lies to them and tells them, no, we're not teaching that, but they are. They won't even allow you to go into the premises of the school without permission. I used to go in when my kids are in their 20s now, but when I used to go into the schools, I wanted to sneak up to see what the teacher was doing. I'm gonna be honest, you know, I was very protective of my kids. So here I would walk into the public school and go straight to the classroom. I wouldn't go to the office and say, hey, can I get permission? No. Boom, went straight in there. And these times you can't do that. They don't allow the parents to go in and check on the children and check how they're doing. Now, Gavin Newsom is trying to take away the cell phones from the kids now.
Yeah.
They don't want the kids to videotape nothing in there. So
because they'll expose what's happening.
Exactly.
That's what Zoom did. Yeah. You know, one of my frustrations for decades, and I mean decades, because I used to tell people, oh no, it's not the teachers that bother me, it's that those damn unions. And I get so mad, I'm like, it's the teachers that vote their union leadership in,
right,
and it's the teachers who aren't fighting back and they're teaching what they're told. It's the
and they don't have to be
problem.
And they don't have to be part of the union anymore either. They have the option to opt out of the union, but they do it anyway because of fear of them getting fired without the protection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you gotta stand. You gotta take a stand. You gotta state your position. Either you're for it or you're not. And the silence is being for it.
And here's the kicker. You know, COVID destroyed lives. People committed suicide. People were unemployed. They lost their businesses. So I don't say this lightly. But the one good thing that came out of COVID, it exposed the schools and showed, it finally validated me. I'm like, see, it is the teachers. And you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with Liz with TikTok, a very popular social media. And she's exposing, they're so protected. We are such cowards and so scared. And I don't mean somebody individually, but as a whole, that they don't care. I'm going to transition this kid. I don't care. Screw the pan. Blah, 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 blah. See, the sailor comes out of me. Sorry. You know, Zoom exposed them. And that is one of the greatest things I am so happy for, because I don't believe we've started the fight. I think Trump's assassination is the tipping point for our side. They're saying enough is enough. And God bless that lives at TikTok, because right now she's doing it with people who said, oh, they missed. They should have hit him, you know, or they need to practice better. She's exposing them and they're getting fired. And we're fighting back. And the people who I get angry at are the ones who are like, we shouldn't be like that. We need to rise above that. And I'm like, well, that's why we're in this position. Eventually, you have to stand up and fight the bully.
I was just going to say, what is a bully? How does a bully understand when you stand up for yourself? That's the only way they fought.
And the reason why nobody wanted to speak out, because they don't want to be canceled. And it's
exactly.
You have to rise above that as well. You know, don't worry about if you're canceled or they don't want to lose their job or, you know, I understand, you know, like with, you know, and just to say, I'm a pure blood. I never, I'm sorry if anybody else, but
we're rarely three people in one room.
Holy Spirit said, well, I already knew the Holy Spirit was telling me no. And then I got into this conference call with somebody that was a former scientist and warned us as well. And so I had a lot of information. I shared it. And some people listened to me and some didn't. And I've lost friends that have passed away from.
They're
still dropping. They're still dropping. And it just breaks my heart. That, you know, I was their voice. I mean, I was a voice on social media and personally to them, texting them, whatever. And family, even family, you know, they're still alive, but they're coming down with medical issues now.
My sister just had some medical issues, and we lost both our in-laws. And you know, when you have a spouse, you know, and you feel impotent at times because there's nothing you can do. And she to this day believes her mother died of depression. She went down and she was jabbed too. I mean, she had they're two leftists. They believe they had the Kool-Aid, so they got their. Plus, they kind of had no choice to be in a retirement home, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And but she was depressed. My wife couldn't go see her. And then she got sick, and and I'm thinking, okay, she's a little ill. And then my wife, a day and a half later, she says, honey, I gotta go. They're saying that this could be it. And sure enough, she passed away. And to this day, my wife thinks it's a combination of and depression. And then her father, the same thing, you know. And what got me, it was for you spiritually. I'm more logical. My first question was, I was like, well, hold on. Before it came out, I'm like, well, they haven't said if I take this that I won't catch COVID again. They're not saying that. Now, the politicians were saying it, but not the paperwork I was looking at, you know? Yeah. And then I'm thinking, well, what's in it? And they weren't saying.
It doesn't say it on the paperwork.
Those were the two big red flags. But the biggest red flag to me was it's a 99.9% recovery rate. So why do I want to put that I don't know what it is. And I did not work in the pharmaceutical industry. I worked at the Alzheimer's Association, and I dealt with big pharma. I was in marketing and fundraising, and I knock, knock, once or twice a week, trying to give me stuff to give out at events. Things. I mean, they're just all over it. And it's as corrupt as any other corporate industry, you know? But they are so vicious, and it saddened me because – I'm like, what are they teaching kids? It's like, I'm critically thinking on a simple level, meaning just using common sense. And then I'm like, I'm not going to take it. But I knew I had an advantage. I don't have a boss. I work for myself. So does my wife. So we were both like, it wasn't even a question. Oh, I ain't going to take that. You know? And then I saw people who, and I felt for them because they have families to support. And I won't condemn them, but I also look at them and go, at what point do you stand up for yourself and your family?
I did that.
Against
the
big government.
And I had to do that.
Yes.
I have an employer.
I had a doctor where I went, because I have Kaiser, right? So I went to Kaiser doctor, and the doctor started talking to me and says, oh, I see you haven't taken your COVID shot. I'm like, no, I have not, and I'm not. And he's like, oh, well, he was trying to figure me out, right? And he's looking at And he's like, oh, well, do you know that the Pope said it was okay? And that, yeah, right away he started pushing that. You know that the Pope said it's okay and that you can, that the shot does not have aborted fetuses. And I said, well, let me tell you, I already know that it does, but I don't follow the Pope. I follow Jesus Christ. And so, no, I don't. Thank you.
Oh, no, I get you. Yeah, somebody brought the Pope up to me, and then I almost lost him as a friend because I said, well, did you know that there's a few popes that died fornicating? Did you know there's a few popes that had mistresses on the side? Did you know popes really aren't popes? They were political back then. And he got so angry that I would denigrate the Catholic Church leadership. But I know about this pope. I've been to Argentina. I know their background, their social background, their cultural background. This pope is more socialist than anything. Yeah. Anna, how did you deal with it? People, that's great marketing on Anna's part, the Lexus shirt.
Right,
yeah.
That's it.
So, you can see her in my hat.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. but Martha, you're a beautiful woman, and the hat takes away from that. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Anna, how did you deal with it with your work? I mean, I don't want to pry too much, but how did that turn out, if you don't mind talking to us about that?
Well, I got laid off for a period of time because I chose not to take it. And I was fighting the vaccine. I had said that my convictions had said that I was holding to my convictions that I did not want to have this foreign object or it in my body. And I believe that I shouldn't be covering my face because I am to glorify God. And so they said, well, we don't have a policy that says you're allowed to do that. So until we figure it out, you're going to have to be sent home until further notice, or you conform and you do this. And I said, okay, I'll see you. Let me know when, I'll let me know if I can come back or not. And I came home and I just told my husband, you know, it's, I'm in God's hands right now. Whatever his will is for me is he's going to have a better plan if this isn't where I'm supposed to go back to. And thank the Lord that eventually the company ended up accepting my religious exemption letter and I was able to come back. And there were some stipulations that I had to do with the testing, and every day I had to get my nose swabbed and on camera. And I tried fighting that too. And I wasn't going to win that battle. So I figured whatever, this is the compromise. So I'll just have my nose swabbed every single morning before I go to work and have someone watch me on Zoom. Watch me do it, and they can verify my result that I'm negative so I can go into the office. And that's what I had to do for several months. But you know what? It was only two of us that stood up in my company and said, we're not going to take the shot. And now there's people that have come up to us and said, I wish I had done that. I wish I had stood up like you did. I wish I had the courage to say I had a religious belief. I even had people say, but I'm not a religious person, and so I don't have that protection. I said, sure you do. And I would help them to, you know, that's your belief. You have no belief. That's where your stance is at. So that is protected. Yeah. And I would help them get that through. But, some of them submitted the exemption letters for the boosters, because even when the boosters came out, the company wanted to, mandate that everybody get the boosters as many as came out, they wanted to force everybody to get them.
And you know, on the mask, there was all this data out there already for forever, from generations ago. Masks don't work. I remember seeing the little cartoon things. They show the little microbes that you're breathing in and out, because the masks just don't. It doesn't work. And it's common sense. And all of a sudden, those articles, all that started disappearing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, masks were the next greatest thing to protect us. And we were still stubborn. There will be film of all the politicians unmasked. And then they realize the camera's on. Whoop! You know,
exactly.
And, you know, I worked from home, so I didn't go out. And the one thing I could not understand with people who wear the mask with no issues is I couldn't do it because I feel like I'm suffocating. I would end up putting it in there because I'm like, I can't breathe. And I'm a scuba diver. So I know I'm a, but the mask I felt like was suffocating. I was like, how do people do this? And I know we have really digressed here, so we should probably get back on topic, but that's some valuable information.
But the funny part was in the restaurants when they would walk in with the mask, but then they go sit down and
at the table.
Take it off. It's ridiculous.
They tried this in the 1990s, in 1980s. I can't remember what virus went. And for 2 weeks, they tried to shut the government down. I mean, the country down. And it didn't work because the economy completely died. And the reason I believe they tried this was because of the technology. Now we can Zoom, we can work from home, we can remote. I think that was the impetus. I'm not a conspiracy theory, but I tell people that I tell people, look at Tuskegee, where they experimented on black men. I go, look at the mustard gas in World War I. I go, look how they would march. See, here's the one people don't remember. When they were doing the atomic bomb experiments, they would have platoons of soldiers. You're going to walk 5 miles this way. You're going to walk 2 miles this way to experiment to see how the radiation affected them. I'm like, if y'all don't – excuse my French here. But people think, oh, that shit don't happen in America. And I'm like, yes, it does. You know, throughout history, the powerful, the elites have used the common man to experiment on. I'm like, hell, look at the industrial age. They would have children working 10, 12-hour days. You know, when power corrupts, it corrupts.
Well, this was – the whole thing was just a test run for the globalist agenda to see how many people they could get to conform and control. That's all it was.
And to depopulate. In the hospitals, they were killing them. You know, I know everyone, you know, as soon as they heard that they thought they had COVID, I mean, so much fear mongering was going on that the hospitals were, in the beginning, when they first said, oh, the hospitals are full, I went to all the San Diego hospitals here and I videotaped and not one was full. They were empty. Empty.
And they all wanted to be on the ventilators because they thought the ventilators would save them. And it turns out the ventilators helped kill them. And you're right. I don't even say anything about globalism anymore, but I used to tell people, we're a globalist country, a world because of technology. But I was talking economically, trade, all that. Little did I realize they want one world government, and they do. Yeah. There's no denying that. They want that.
And one world religion.
They want government to be their religion. You know, they don't like religion because religion, we fear and we love God, you know, not the government. They want us to look towards government. Yet at the same time, they want us to be so scared of government. And this was, what you said about the population, I have read over and over in various books in my lifetime about how important population control is going to become. And now you hear rich people like Bill Gates and others talk about population control, but yet there's still this, that's conspiracy. That's not going to happen. And I'm like, they're talking about it. It's like the mask.
They're openly talking about it.
Out there, you know?
Yeah.
And we just, it's like, you guys have seen that Batman slapping Robin meme, right? You know, the cartoon where he slaps Robin. And there's always a different saying. But that's how I feel. Like half, two-thirds of the nation, we just need to slap him in the head. You know, and COVID. My sister, she passed out a few months ago. Fully healthy. We have no heart issues, no nothing like that. She's a nurse, and God bless her. I asked her to come on the show. She's part of the fundamentalist family, but it was too short a notice. But we had a family reunion. My dad's 91. We got COVID. My brother brought it there. He goes, and I'm not blaming him, but he goes, I've quarantined for the amount of recommended days, so I should be good. So I'm like, yeah, come on down. Sure enough, we all started catching it. And her and I got into a blow up. I mean, it was nothing physical, but just the yelling and screaming. And we were at a lake house. I said, screw this. Packed up and I went back home, went back to California. Said, I'm not going to deal with this. I didn't have COVID because she wanted the quarantine. We got to do this. And I'm like, Marianne, it's in the air already. It's like, but that was the indoctrination she'd gone through. And she was a nurse. She is a nurse. So yeah. The indoctrination is deep and heavy and ingrained, and it starts at schools what Gavin Newsom did with the parents in hiding, that's just, it's come full circle to them taking total control of not mm-hmm. just the education of our children, but actually controlling them and, for lack of a better word,
owning their lives.
And what makes it worse is a child will become increasingly petulant when they know they can blame the parent and run to the teacher, and the teacher can take it away. So the parent's going to shut up, and that kid's going to become a brat. That kid's going to become mm-hmm. little, what's that saying, Tommy, little Tommy, you know, all the jokes, little Tommy, growing up. Yeah. And then, so we are going to have an uncontrollable society of miscreants who are accustomed, mm-hmm. who are entitled. It's not going to be a strong work ethic. We're going to have to import a lot of people because we're doing that already. They're too dumb to take these highly scientific jobs or even computer type jobs. So we're importing all these other people. And it's not that I'm against that. It's, you got to take care of Americans first. Yeah. But now we're not even educated enough to be able to fulfill some of these jobs. So, but anyway, let's go on back to Amber, the Republican convention, the reset. Great conversation, ladies. So I'm going to try pulling this up. I'm still new at StreamYard, but here is the tweet. Let me see. Present. There is the tweet. I'm not sure if you ladies can see that, but it says, it's from Matt Walsh. The RNC gives a primetime speaking slot to a pro-abortion feminist and self-proclaimed slut with a face tattoo whose only claim to fame is having sex with rappers. Truly an embarrassment. Not a single voter will be mobilized by this person. Well, before I get into the cultural part of it, I do know he's completely wrong in the sense of not a single voter will be mobilized. The reason they put her on the platform is because she is an influencer. I hate influencers, but they play an important role in our society. Mostly bad, you know, but that's why they put her up there. So I want to start with you, Anna. On the face of it, when you hear somebody like Matt Walsh say that, are you in agreement or maybe a bit too harsh, or the Republican Party is not a church? What are your initial thoughts on this when you see a tweet like that or a post like that coming from somebody who is a devout Christian?
Well, I think he had a poor choice of words in some of his tweet, but I think the main point that he was trying to make was that this was a poor choice, maybe because of her lifestyle and because of her beliefs, but also because she hasn't been a Trump supporter very long, and it's almost as though the Republican Party is just trying to pander. So it was like a last-ditch effort to try and get somebody that can resonate with whatever culture or demographics she relates to, and that part is pretty unfortunate that the Republican Party would stoop to that level. But I guess I partly agree with him on his view. I wouldn't criticize her the way he did, but because I don't really know her, so nothing personal against her. It's just, I think it was a poor choice to have her specifically on the platform with that, like you said, prime time slot, that they could have picked anyone else from the big pool of supporters that maybe have the same type of influence or following.
And Martha, your take when you saw, well, when you see a post like that coming from a devout Christian?
I understand where he's coming from regarding that, you know, there's so many, like Anna said too, there's so many people that they could have picked. They picked somebody that only has a little bit of time, 2 months only becoming a Trump supporter. She's atheist. I mean, you know, this is the Republican Party, right? She's atheist. She believes in abortion. Yes, I know we already went that route. But she's still a current porn star. You know, if we say we're conservatives, right? If we say that we're believers in, we're believers in Republican Party, we have a lot of Christians in there. We have a lot of Catholics in there. This doesn't represent us. I know, like I said, I even feel ashamed because, now they allow abortions, right? Now they're okay with abortions. They're okay with transgender, and God forbid it gets any worse. But this is where, if we say we're conservatives, if we say we're Christians, why didn't get somebody that would represent us? She don't represent us. Yeah, you know, maybe she can get votes from African Americans, maybe even Latinos, get, you know, for Trump. But the whole thing is that she don't represent us. And, you know, like, she spoke very well. I'm not going to hate on her, you know, mm-hmm. But the whole thing is she don't represent the Republican Party. But it's like I said, I'm in between. If you read the Constitution protects the unborn baby. So people need to read their Constitution. Yeah, we're not, you know, they want to say, oh, this is not a religion. This is not a, God, and let's keep it separate. You better read your Constitution. Your Constitution protects the unborn.
So. From a Christian point of view, I'm not going to argue any of that. Part of my take is the Republican Party is not a church. It is a big tent. It brought blacks in when they were considered slaves. Mm-hmm. Republicans lost their lives to defend slaves when the Democrats were like, slaves are apes. They are not godly people. And so Republicans were seen in a negative light. They were lynched. See, people forget. A lot of white Republicans were lynched with black free slaves, and blacks became Republicans. And I'm not saying that you guys are wrong. I'm saying that's how they saw it back then, and they were in the wrong. Well, my issue here are the people, meaning I get frustrated at Christians. I'm like, well, why do we keep voting Daryl Issa in? Why is Carl DeMaio gaining such support in my district when there's a better candidate? Why aren't we using our power as the people to get more God-fearing politicians in there? You know,
well, yeah.
And so I view her. I don't, you know, after hearing you, I'm like, okay, yeah, they probably could have and should have had a better representative up there. But the way he said it, it was very derogatory. My mother is a woman who came from nothing. I always tell Americans, y'all don't know what poor is. You have no freaking clue what poor is. Go to a third world country. You know, my mother was a bar girl, a barmaid early on, trying to find a living, trying to find her soldier. You know, she met my father. They're still married. I'm 57, married 57 years. They love one another. They've had their ups and downs. She's a God-fearing woman. She found God. God saved her life, you know. Right. So when I see somebody like that, I'm like, you're an idiot. She may have found and I'm not talking about – I agree. Maybe they could have been. I'm not going to sit there and fully agree because she has millions and millions of followers. Most of them are black. They don't listen to pastors, preachers, priests. They don't go to church. They don't listen to the Republican Party. They don't listen to black Republicans. You know, yeah. They are people who live in a different world, a different culture, just like we Latinos do. Americans do.
Yeah. And we're not, you know, she can be in the Republican Party. I mean, yeah, she's still, as far as I know, she's still an atheist. But other than that, I believe that in the Republican Party, there is Christians, and
I agree, Martha, with that.
The gospel can be shared with her, and she can become a believer and be used by God. But you know, I know where I kind of understand where he's coming from, like I said. But you know, I think we're very disappointed. Us Christians are very disappointed in the Republican Party.
I'm disappointed in the Christians.
Like the Democrat Party left us. The Republican Party right. Leaving the Christians as well.
Right. And that's, well, first of all, that's what I admire about Lexi. You guys are getting in the game, for lack of a better way to say it. But I'm tired of all these Christians who complain, talk, and then they're the ones leading the charge. Most grassroots, to the audience out there, most grassroots that aren't have a strong Christian foundation, meaning like the Tea Party. The Tea Party started as money. The government's too big. They're spending too much money. Then they were taken over by the Christians. And I've gone to them since 2015. They don't get involved. Daryl Lysa, and I say, I only because he's my representative. I'm not picking on you, Daryl. You're just my representative. You come to mind. He'll shake their hand. All of a sudden, he walks on water. And I'm like, no, he's done things you should question. And but yet you sit there and say, oh yeah, that representative, he sucks. He's terrible. But then you look at your representative who's doing the same thing, voting on the same bills, and you look at him, I like ISA. Why? Because he shook your hand. And they're never going to say yes, but yes, that's why you like him, you know? So I look at it, I'm like, we have strayed because we haven't held the people who make the laws accountable. I ask these Christian groups, well, when's the last time you volunteered for the Family Pregnancy Center? You know, the Christian equivalent of Planned Parenthood. When's the last time you talked to your politician to pressure him into supporting the Planned Pregnancy Center? They don't want to do that. They don't do that. They get, and this is because I feel I don't want big government. I don't want draconian laws. I believe in the power. I believe in Jesus. Jesus broke bread with prostitutes, yeah. Tax collectors. And then somebody asked, well, why? Why? Because they're the ones I need to change.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how I view it. What happened?
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Because he didn't change, they changed.
And exactly.
That's, yes, but
that's
my
the
point.
Thing now with Christians, they change. Instead of the others changing that are in bondage, the Christians change. And it's like
they're conforming.
So we need
exactly.
to there you go. Conforming to this world.
Point.
The Bible says not to conform to this world. And Christians are conforming to this world. But like I said, the Republican Party is going in the direction with the Democrats. Sorry to say that, but it's the truth. And we need to get back God, because if we don't get back God, we're going to lose our nation. We will lose our nation if we don't get Jesus back on the platform.
I agree.
And here's the thing too, William, if I may, we were a party of godly values from the Reagan era. He invoked God, and ever since he had that assassination attempt, he invoked God in everything that he said, everything that he did. And all of a sudden, now that we're in these times, the Republican Party changed their platform to remove the word God and redefined the word marriage between a man and a woman, because we are afraid of losing a vote. Instead of saying, here we are, this is what we stand for, we are standing firm on our convictions that we are a party that believes in God, and you are all welcome, but this is where we stand. Instead of saying that, they said, oh, I'll just denounce that we believe in God or that we stand on the biblical principles because we don't want to offend someone like, you know, Amber Rose and her followers. We'll just say that we don't believe it. We're going to eliminate that from our platform.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Now. That's where it's
that's the problem.
That's not how it started. It started, they would avoid the issue. They didn't want to talk about it. And that's when I get irked at, because we're the voters. And I'm like, the moment that happens, you know, we're at fault. So when I vote, I only vote for about a third of Republicans now. I research every Republican on there, and libertarians too, because they at times align with us. And I will not. So when I started hearing, Card to Mile was the first one I heard say it, we need the ballot harvest. And I'm thinking, are you high? I go, you want these people's ballots so they can vote straight Republican ticket, so they can vote for the rhinos, the swamps. And it's about power. And yet here's half the Republican constituency. Yeah, Carl, you're right. Yeah, but you go, brother. Yeah. And I'm like, you're all our idiots. It's like, it's I'm preaching to the choir here. And the reason I say that, Anna, you stood your ground. You went with your beliefs. You didn't take it. Same thing with you, Martha, my wife and I. You know, I tell people this not to brag, but I tell them I'm the average Joe. I helped pioneer and commercialize an industry that is now a multi-billion dollar industry called fantasy sports. I was offered many jobs. I was offered times to sell my soul if I would just go along. And I'm a middle class guy because I chose not to. And I pull my hair out because sometimes I wish God, I wish I could sell out my soul. I'd be a rich man today, you know? And I don't hold those standards to other people, but not that I'm 57. I'm like, well, maybe I should have preached those standards harder because you're right. We have lost. But now to play devil's advocate, the Republican Party, part of its foundation was godliness, but it wasn't written in there. And I think that was a mistake. There's certain things like the founding fathers not writing term limits in because they never thought people would be career politicians. They thought they'd be farmers, go back to their lands. And I'm like, y'all screwed up. And now we're screwed over here. You know, so I view those type of mistakes and we are in this predicament. But at the end of the day, we have Jesus turned a lot of the heathens into God-fearing Christians. And what Matt Walsh to me is doing is, oh, I don't want this whore. Throw her ass out. That's what I got out of it. Now, Anna, I don't know, as I told the audience earlier, we were recording and not yet recording, so I don't remember if you brought it up. But you brought up a good point that Matt Walsh may have been talking to – he's an idiot. He's somebody I would – in the military, we have what's called a dry room, where you would go into that dry room. They no longer had it. When I joined, it was being phased out because it was violent. You had an issue with somebody, you go to the dry room. He's somebody I want to take to the dry room because to me, his mentality is what my mom had in the kinder way. But being young and dumb, you know, we fought a lot because I didn't see the world. I had gay friends. I didn't know they were gay, but they were gay, but she recognized it, but she wouldn't accept them. And I get so angry at her because my mom was such a giving person. She would help anybody, but then here she drew the line. So in my thought process, and again, this is part of my belief, but I'm also playing devil's advocate here to see how what you guys think of it. But I'm like, God's going to judge them as long as they live, as long as they don't want to sit there. And this is where I was wrong, and I'll say why I was wrong. As long as they want to live their own lives, they want to be a good citizen, be productive, I'm okay with that. Well, we see what's happened. Now they want to take over with the law that Newsom passed with transgenderism and groomism. So maybe I should have thought a little bit differently. But I still think that way. And I think if you're surrounded by good people, if you're preaching the gospel, people will change. I've changed because of my mother's upbringing, and she has no clue, you know, because I live my own life, you know. She has, and my sisters are fundamentalists, so they're all in their little troika, and I'm on the outside, you know, and I'm fine with that, you know. But the way he responded to her, we have to at least win the battle. So, for example, the Matt Gaetzes of the world, the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world. I don't know how fundamentalist they are or how God-fearing they are, but they're on an island fighting for us, the people, you know? So I'm like, we go along, oh, he's an idiot. He's this. I'm like, actually, he's fighting for you, you know? You may not agree with him or her and how they fight, but at the end of the day, they're trying to stand up for the bully. So we don't have enough of those politicians and we don't support them enough. And like I said, we always think it's the politician in the other district and not our politician. So there's so many forces driving us away from trying to unite. And I see what Matt Walsh is doing here is driving her away. And it could be petty envy. He may be just envious that maybe because Matt Walsh is tied into that world. He knows these power players. Maybe he's envious of somebody he wanted to speak or somebody who was more like him didn't speak.
I want to know.
That is, he's in the minority. They're trying to win an election that I think Trump lost because of voter fraud. I have no shame in saying that. But at the end of the day, it was a close election. And the black culture and Latino culture, they're starting to realize, oh, Democrats been lying to us. You know, because I always tell people, I was a liberal. I escaped the Democrat plantation. You can too. So I see her as a woman who can help bring people. Because she talked about her father. She talked about her father. She started to listen to her father. And what is the one thing that is lacking in the black community, but also in Latino communities, is growing worse and worse. The lack of a father figure. So her speech, see, to me, her speech, I don't care what you say, Matt, her speech was one that we can all learn from and get from. So I understand her background and I hope she can change. I hope she thinks higher of herself to realize I don't have to do OnlyFans, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe she will.
William, here's the thing though. What about what Matt Walsh said was wrong? None of it was wrong. It's fact about how he describes her. Was he harsh in his words? Sure. But so is Trump. And he's harsh with his words, but we love him. We love him for it. So why do we hate on Matt?
Hold on. Let me finish my thought.
So Matt Walsh is being a little harsh on his words, and we are saying, oh, how dare you speak about her like this? You're driving people away like this. But I think the reason people are rejecting him is because they know how much he is having a relationship with God. And I think that's what people are rejecting the fact that Christians are trying to now be vocal and be as a matter of fact. And I don't think people are ready for that, because for so long, Christians have been silent and we haven't said a peep. We've just conformed. We've gone along with it. But when we see something that is, less than the typical conservative, what you would think of a conservative, you know, and we speak out against it, all of a sudden, we're the ones that are, oh, how dare you say that? You know, but what he said about her is not a lie. So I don't understand why so much backlash on him when he's really no different than Trump in his words.
They're hating on, you know, I noticed recently that we're getting a lot of hate speech, including Lexit, because we're Christians, because we put God first. There's conservatives out there that speak up. They get backlash because why are you putting God in this? Or why you want Trump to stop abortions? Or why this or why that? You know, all this stuff I hear. But you have to understand that, you know, they're hating on us, but we're the real conservatives. We're the real Republicans. Yeah. We are the ones. We are the Republicans. We are the conservatives. And not just that, we know what the Word of God says, that we would be hated for His name's sake. Amen. The Word of God says we would be hated for His name's sake. We already know what's coming. We already know what's coming, and He's coming. Jesus is coming. But call me radical, call me whatever you want, but you know what? I know what the Word of God says, and I know that He's not dead. He's alive.
Amen.
Part of the problem. Part of the problem with faith is you're battling technology and science. The more we get technologically advanced and science is able to prove more and more, the more we lose faith. And that's that's not good or bad. That's just what seems to be happening. But no, I disagree with you ladies in this sense. That was a man belittling a woman because he could have said it differently. And what I was going to say, hey, I'm part of that Lexit text. Y'all, we never talked about Trump like Matt Walsh talked about her. Jesus, I'm pretty sure, and I'm speculating. I wasn't there, you know, but I'm pretty sure Jesus did not talk to the prostitutes and the tax collectors like Matt Walsh. He was derogatory. He was, and here's my point. We're not going to grow Christianity. We're not going to bring people to understand the power and love of God when you spew derogatory hate like that. He may not have said anything that was true. I mean, he may have said everything may be technically true, but there's a way you talk to one another. There's a way you put the olive branch to bring people aboard. And that's what they took. That's what I took offense to. I'm like, the reason I brought up the dry room, because I'm like, you're a 700-pound gorilla hiding behind a computer. Because I know good and well, had I been standing next to Amber, there's no way you would have said that to her, because I would have punched your ass out. And I agree. He's technically right. You know?
Because so that's the thing. I think the main thing is the reason people hate him so much is because he's standing firm on what he believes. And like I said, could he have used different choice of words? Maybe, but none of what
Anna. That's what I'm saying, though. He did nothing to help the Christian cause with that post. Nothing. It doesn't matter that it's true.
But here's something. Neither did the Republican Party by putting her on stage.
There you go.
But we're not talking about that.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
No. We're talking about Matt Walsh right now and what he said. Because, again, the Republican Party, we are built on spirituality, on our Christianity. But we're also a big tent trying to bring more people in. And she brings, see, here's the problem. People who aren't godly, finding God may not be step one. Finding a job is step one in their eyes. You see what I'm saying? Is there's a, what I try to explain to the Christians is there's this playing field on here. We're just a small part of it as Christians. Now, in the bigger picture, we may be the end all of it all, meaning, you know, come the day of retribution, come the day when we meet our maker. But that family at that kitchen table is just wondering how they're going to pay their electricity, how they're going to feed their families. And when I see Amber, I don't see her as a Christian. Hopefully she will find her way as many others have. You know, but to me, it's a step-by-step process. You know, it's kind of like I heard Jesse speaking about the abortion pill today. He spoke about it last week on a podcast. And he said, well, I can't vote for Trump. And I'm thinking, well, hold on, Jesse. We can fight the abortion pill now because Trump got Roe versus Wade back to the states where it belonged constitutionally. And now we can battle it there and we can try to convince people. But to go to say, I can't support Trump, like, so you're throwing everything Trump's done under the bus because he's not going to step into a federal role when constitutionally it's a state's right issue. And that's where it belongs. Now it's up to us as Christians to try to change it at the state level. And my point being is, where's our responsibility? Where is Matt's responsibility in being a man? And being a God-fearing man and looking at Amber and say, look, I don't agree with this woman here, but she can bring a lot of votes and maybe we can, there's more people to convert. There's more people to bring into the flock. As Jesus said, you gotta go to the people who don't agree or think like you to convince them. And that's what I did not see in it. I saw him pushing people away from God, from Christianity with that post.
Well, why do us Christians always have to compromise our faith?
Did I say compromise?
No, but that's like what's happening with President Trump. Well, he's my president. I love him, but I'm not too happy with all the abortion stuff. Yeah, he gave it to every state, but I don't know. There's some things going on there that I'm not too pleased with, but I'm hoping and praying that when he makes it, that he turns everything around. So I'm praying.
Right. I agree.
But other than that, I see that they're everyone always wants the Christians to compromise. Oh, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have did that, or you know. And it's like, you know, these people that have these big platforms, I mean, we don't, you know, they need to speak up. They need to speak up more about God. They need to speak up what we want, because we need President Trump and other conservatives that are in the Republican office or that are running, they need to know what we want. They already know what we want, but we need to remind them.
Martha,
we need to hold them accountable.
He got a conservative Supreme Court and he got Roe versus Wade removed.
They're still down the street, there's still babies being murdered here.
But Martha, it's like he can't wave a wand and it all goes away. And I want to mention compromise because, really? And I think you said it. You're absolutely correct. Why do Christians always have to compromise? I don't think it's Christians always have to compromise. I think every person, whatever culture, race, whatever group they're part in, they feel, why do I always have to compromise? But the forefathers saw the slavery issue. That's why they had the 3/5 votes. So to keep the southern states from literally dominating with how they wanted to count with slaves and all that. And a lot of founding fathers set their plantations up to where their slaves would be freed once they passed away. But that was a major compromise. You know, because they knew they weren't going to get anything passed in terms of that constitution being ratified and then approved, you know, without that 3/5 there. So compromise in the bigger picture has always been a part of humanity, a part of life. And that's how I look at it. I'm like, I'd love to have a God-fearing country again. But we're not going to be able to go up to home runs don't exist in the real world. The batter goes up, hits a home run. We don't need compromise. We just got the home run. That never happens. Trump himself was a Hail Mary win in 2016. And again, he got these conservative justices and they don't always agree with us because they practice the Constitution. sometimes I'll get so mad at somebody. They go, yeah! And then I take a step back. I'm like, okay, they follow the Constitution. They didn't follow what I personally wanted, which what I personally want is jumping 10 steps. It's like Roe versus Wade. It took 50 years. Constitutional lawyers were always said from day one, this is not the hill you want to die on, liberals. This is actually bad law, bad case here, you know. But they were able to keep it going for 50 years before Alabama strategically placed the right case in the courts. And they came out and said it. This is the case that's going to turn Roe versus Wade back to the states. And they were right. But it took 50 years.
You know, William, here's what I think where the compromise is for the party. The party needs to, the only compromise the party needs to make is to say, this is our values. This is why we're considered a conservative movement or a conservative party, whatever you want to call it or call ourselves. And if you don't align with these views or these values, there's a Democrat party. They agree on open everything. Open on every single aspect.
No, you're right.
Because then we're no different.
We have to draw a line.
Well, here's the problem. Here's the problem I'm hearing from you. It's either 100% or we're done. Even Ronald Reagan was 80-20. That's why I disagree with you on that. Ronald Reagan was saying, hey, we agree with 80% of it. Hey, we're brothers. Because we're humans. We're never going to agree. Whether it's how you decide to raise your child, Martha versus how another God-fearing Christian decides to raise. There's always going to be disagreement. And my point with God-fearing Christians, the ones who live the biblical way, and I have no issues with that. But I'm like, there's always compromise. Remember, part of the platform, a big part, was limited government, low taxes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's where, and you're right. I get mad at Trump. I'm like, Trump, you increase the deficit. You know, it exploded after you told us you wouldn't. You know, so my point is I look at it as like, hey, if we agree here, that's fine. And then we can work on this part, you know. Then we can work on this. It seems like let me ask you this question because I'm circling it versus saying directly. You're never going to have 100% compromise. So why can't some of these Christian groups accept that and realize, hey, it's up to me to go convince that politician. You need to go support the Family Pregnancy Center. You need
we
to
have.
Fight for our rights more. But yes and no. When people say, well, I have, well, not good enough. We're losing. See, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how hard we try if we still lose. See, and that's a mentality from the military and actually special operations as a mentality. And I tell that to my partner. I said, look, these spec ops and in the military, if you make an error, you die, you know? So we look at obstacles. That's just an obstacle. Too many times, the civilians look at it, they're defeated. Well, I'm going to take my ball and go home. It's like, well, that's why I still have hope. I still have hope we can convince them to do this.
Well, let me tell you this. So the Christian vote is a big part of the Republican Party.
Right.
So if the Republican Party thinks that they can still win without the Christian vote, who happen to be Latinos, and a lot of them are black who believe in God and have godly principles, they're going to lose anyway. So if they're going to compromise, they should compromise on other areas rather than compromising on their godly value. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think you're right and wrong on that because the blacks, people forget blacks are in the urban areas, but they're mostly in the South. And if you've never,
but they believe
South,
in God.
Blacks, yes. That's my point. They believe in God. They believe in God, and a lot of my friends who are black, they're conservatives in how they live their lives. Come election day, cha-ching, Democrat. Because we have lost our way in convincing them of the values they live because they've been lied to. We have done a poor job. Did you know, are you ladies aware, Republican Party officially does not go into blue districts? So if you're not even going into the enemies, Jesus had no fear. Yeah. His disciples had no fear. They went where the devil was infested, and they knew the risk. Our politicians won't even do that, but yet we keep re-electing them, the few that we can still elect here in California. And so my point is, I look at the failure as on we the people. And because we're the ones who keep sending these politicians there. But I also look at it from a strategic and tactful. So if we can get the Amber Roses on board from the economic standpoint, then we can take the next step and work on the Amber Roses from a godly perspective.
And it's I agree with that, but don't put them on the platform to speak on behalf of the party.
No.
That's my point.
We're in the same boat, but that's because people in Kentucky keep reelecting Mitch McConnell, who's buying and paid for. When they elected Paul Ryan, he's conservative. And I'm like, have you looked at his voting record? Yeah, William, he votes 80% conservative. Yeah, for a mailbox here, or post office, for this or that. But for the 20% that matters, that affects the whole country on an exponential level, he votes leftist or moderate or what his donors tell him to. But his constituents loved him at the time. Now they realize Boehner, even this Mike Johnson, you know, when he got elected because he made promises, he immediately backtracked and broke those promises.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yeah. I can hear you. We lost you visually. But my point is it steps at a time and we have to be strategic, and we're not. And it does not help. And Anna and I talked about this a few weeks ago. When you have these preachers, pastors, I always hear preachers, pastors, priests, whatever, because of various religions, where they're in bed with the devil while they're preaching to us in the name of God. And that irks me too, because too many times I see Christians, and I have family members who I jokingly chastise, but deep down I'm angry, where they follow the pastor. I'm like, you don't have to follow him. He's not God, you know? It's like I tell people too, who rationalize Trump. They get mad at me when I bring things up that Trump didn't keep a promise. I go, look, at the end of the day, Trump had the power to build the wall. Mm-hmm. He had the power. He chose not to. Trump promised to release simple things. He promised to release the JFK papers. He didn't do it. You know, he probably did a lot of promises, but you made excuses as to what, it's not his fault. It's these people. No, it's our fault because we didn't hold his feet to didn't hold his feet to the fire.
So, well, that's how I feel now about this issue. That's how I feel now about this issue about who the Republican Party is allowing to be the spokesperson. This is how I feel. This is what we get because the Christians weren't vocal about it. The Christians didn't pressure the politicians to say, hey, I'm a Christian and my vote matters because I'm the one that voted you in.
But see, it doesn't matter. It does. They have calculated how to win without the Christian vote. And my issue is, I guess we lost Martha.
Yeah, we
lost her. You're the main girl anyway, Anna.
No, that's not true.
I'm kidding.
Trying to get her back in?
I have to see her. She's got to try to get back into the link. Hopefully she's trying. Once she pops in, I'll be able to bring her in. Oh, in fact, let me remove this. We've had this up long enough. But my point is we do it strategically. We become an actual block. And what I mean by that, we work to get them elected and we build our block. And when they realize how easy it is to get elected with us versus fighting for their life and death and not winning most of the time, because look at California. We haven't won the popular vote for the presidents in a few cycles, you know. So, but they have figured out how to win, and they're happy with that.
It's cheating. That's just cheating.
They're not cheating. They're abusing the system, but they're not cheating. On the Democrat side, they may be cheating.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Out how to win. So
well,
when we become a bigger block, they realize, oh hell, I can't win without them.
Let me tell you why they can't win with the Christian vote. Because the Christians who feel that the politicians don't align with their views, the Christians will say, well, then I just won't go vote. And that's a problem too.
That's my issue. Actually, Anna, that is the biggest issue I have, because the ones who are sitting here, like after Jesse spoke, I saw the comments and I'm like, well, Jesse, all you're going to do is put us in a worse position than what we battled and gained for. How about you vote for him and then you work through your through your politician to try to pressure him? Because if he's not in office, we are really screwed at Biden. Imagine Kamala being president.
No way. I think the main thing was that we still do want to
hold Trump accountable, even though he's our president. We want him to win. We want him to help us get our country back. But we still need to tell him and politicians like him that we don't agree with certain stances that they have or the positions that they take. So just because we say, hey, I don't agree with your stance on the abortion bill, it doesn't mean that we're going to start denouncing him and saying you're not going to be, you know, if Joe Biden is better than you. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying, hey, you messed up.
What he's saying is I can't vote for Trump because it doesn't matter what he's saying. It's how it's interpreted. But one of the greatest lessons I ever learned was when I was I wasn't in trouble. The command was abusing me in terms of my orders and what I had done. And so I requested a captain's mask. And the captain sat me down. He said, Del Pilar, let me tell you about perception versus the truth. The truth is in the middle. It's in the middle. Perception is how this side sees it and how that side sees it. But in their eyes, that's the truth. You know, so nobody ever sees the actual truth as it should be seen. And the perception, when Jesse says, I can't vote for Trump, he can't vote for Trump because of his godly beliefs, etc. But that's not how people are going to see it. They're just going to hear, I'm not going to vote for Trump. So the power of somebody in his position can help Trump lose the election. Well, my take is, well, Jesse, how about we get him elected and then we put the pressure on our congressmen?
I disagree. I didn't hear what his comment was. But I disagree if the perception that he's saying he can't vote for Trump, that he's not going to vote for Trump. I don't agree with that. I think that gives the more of a, hey, we need to put the pressure on him that he could lose the Christian vote because of his position. And maybe through us putting pressure on him, he'll change his position on it. I think that's all that's trying to do is, because if we don't speak out now before we get him into office, when he's in office, he's already got the job. He's fighting for the job right now still. So we still have an opportunity to potentially change his opinion or change his mind about a certain topic. Once he's already in the office, he's going to be like, oh, well, I'm already here.
I've been involved in politics, and that's not how it works. The greatest pressure we can get to create change is at the local and state and our district representative, not through Trump. Trump, every 4 years, it's a different president. And here's what some people don't realize. If Trump is true to his word and we believe what he's told us, he's a lame duck. He doesn't care anymore. He's going to do what he wants to do for the people. But my point is if we pressure our congressman, he's going to pressure Trump. Trump's not going to hear our little voice, but he's going to be forced to listen to a congressman who's going to vote on a bill that he wants passed.
He's listening to us.
He's listening to you through our acolytes, through the people who represent us, is what I'm saying. So, and I apologize. I did not want to put Jesse in a spot, but that really affected me when I heard that. I was like, whoa, what are you saying here? Because, and people don't realize in politics, you make greater change at the local level, at the state level. But everybody wants to get involved with the national because it's glamorous. It's more hip. It's more fun. It's what everybody's talking about. And they don't get involved at the state and local level. You want to know what the biggest reason they don't get involved? Because they don't know what's happening.
Lexa does get involved at the local level.
Right. And they do. To the audience, there's only one group I've seen consistently at school boards helping to facilitate the change. And San Diego was one of the cities at the forefront when we started, not we, I wouldn't say that, but when you all started exposing what was happening. Mm-hmm. So yes, but when people say, well, it's Trump, I'm like, no, Trump will listen to ISA if we pressure him, you know, but I'm looking at my own district and going, y'all want to elect Carl, who doesn't even live in our district? Because it's cool, because he's hip, he shakes your hands, he's on the radio.
Because he's a Republican.
You know? No, we have a better Republican in terms of
agree.
Better value in Andrew Hayes.
I agree.
I'm kind of outing myself because I've been neutral. You know, I shouldn't be saying this. Because, you know, people have called me here in Valley. I used to be on the Valley Center Planning Group, and I got rid of three elitists that's the other thing. When you get to that level, it's not about party or ideology. It's more about class and how people look, people in power who get elected, and they look at you and me. idiot doesn't know what they're talking about, blah, 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 blah. You know, people hated me in the fantasy sports industry because I'd be going up against Ivy League people working at CBS Sportsline or at ESPN. And I was just a little guy, but my website was ranked in the top 2000 in the world. I had as much traffic, if not more, than they had. So I had earned my seat at the table. And that's what I'm saying. We earn our seat at the table easier at the local level. Because if Lexit goes to, say you guys were in my district. If Lexit, with the power you have by going to these meetings, ISA would notice. Jim Desmond would notice. And that's where we can make change. And that's
well, that's why we need people like you to help us recruit people. That's why we need voices like you to help us recruit people into our movement.
And honestly, I think part of, because you know what? I've sold a business. I've done things in my life. And as I told you on the telephone that one time, I still haven't found satisfaction. Like, yes, yes. I'm still waiting for God to go, this is what you're going to do with your life. And, you know, people, and I truly believe one day I will know. It may be something that happened. But right now, I think part of my role is to help educate the Christian fundamentalists. This is how politics works. And you have to understand, it's a terrible word when they say it's the game. It's terrible because life is not really a game. But for conversation's sake, it's a type of game. And we need to learn how to play it so we can maximize our power, so we can bring faith. Because, again, I'm not a fundamentalist in the sense of like my mother or like some members of Lexit, but I do believe we've lost our way. I look at myself as I'm the guy you throw in the front lines. I'm the guy who's going to raise the sword up and the blood and guts are going to slash, and I'll deal with God and my demons from that battle when my time comes. That's how I view myself.
Well, see, but
as that person, I get angry though, but hold on. As that person, I get frustrated for the ones I want to fight for because I'm like, dude, I can't keep fighting the same fight over and over if you're not going to be willing to look at the battlefield and see how the game is played.
Well, see, the thing with saying that we're a fundamentalist that don't know the game or don't know how to strategize, that's the problem though. That's the problem that people always make the assumption that as Christians, we don't understand how politics work just because we're not in the ins and outs of whatever committees or whatever meetings you want. Hold on.
You may know how it works. You choose not to play the game is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because, and here's why. There's a point where you have to say, okay, well, if I'm a Christian, did Jesus compromise on his teachings, on his word, when he was trying to go out there and spread his gospel to people and tell them, hey, you can follow me. Did he say, you can follow me, but you can still keep that part of your life to yourself and then just kind of partially come follow me? He never said that. It was either you're for me or you're against me. And if you're not, then when the day comes, when judgment comes, guess what he's going to say? I never knew you, and spit you right out. Because that's the problem, is he also doesn't want lukewarm Christians. So when we talk about, you know, we need to fight that battle after when we meet Jesus. No, the battle is here now. The battle is here now. You got to stand your ground now. Here in the now, standing your ground for what you believe in. And if you say you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, then now is the time for you to declare that, because it's not going to get any easier. It's only going to get harder.
Right.
And if the strategy is to stay silent on your beliefs in Jesus so that you can get a bigger platform or get more votes or be able to reach more people, then that's a bad strategy. Because you know what? The opportunity to win people over into the party could be that maybe they've never heard about God. Maybe they've never heard about Jesus. And the fact that we're talking about it in the political front, maybe they'll say, who is this Jesus? These people believe in Jesus, but they also believe this way like I do. Maybe I should go ask them what that's about. And that's how we bring people into the party, not the other way around.
Actually, and this is the Achilles heel you fail to see. What was Jesus able to do? Persuade those people and make those people understand who God is. My issue with the fundamentalists is there's no persuasion. It's my way or the highway. There's no time taken to convert them. I'm pretty sure that some of the tax collectors and prostitutes Jesus sat down with, he did not convince them in that first meeting. It was over time. And I've seen that happen with the church. We'll never know. But I know humanity. And you're not going to persuade people in one sitting. You're not going to persuade people by just preaching the word. That's why
I don't know. Take it.
But we're not. We have it for 100 years. That's my whole point. You can't sit there and say, I don't know, when the track record is out. I'm not chastising you. I'm trying to say the data is out there. We lose battle after battle. And it started again in the 60s when the government chopped off the knees of charities. It started with the education system. People forget most schools were run by the churches. They started from the 1800s. It was, I can't remember, the 20s, 30s, or 40s when the government started to come in and take over. People forget that most blacks were married. A high percentage were married. They had percentage wise better paying jobs than they do today. Not actual paying better paying jobs, but they were moving up, you know. And then in the 60s, the government changed that, and the Democrat Party saw we're going to keep losing unless we create a marketing plan, you know, a used car salesman marketing plan. And the GOP never countered, and then we lost and got disconnected. But Pat Robertson, because people forget, Pat Robertson was the driving force for Ronald Reagan. He was Ronald Reagan's confidant. He was one who got the religious movement, you know. But it's always been a process. And I saw my mother do that. That's why I'm vehement about this, in the sense we're not going to win the battle overnight. So we can't take our ball and go home in frustration. My niece, God bless her, I had to take a step back when I brought her on to work for the company, because I am driven. I'm just hardcore. I have lessons to learn still from being too hard of a boss. And one of the lessons I've learned over the years, I took a step back and I said, I need to be patient with her. I can't just pound on her. And then, because I told my sister, you know, her daughter, I said, I don't know if I can use her. I don't know this. I talked to the wife. I talked to my friends. And then I realized, William, get off your high horse. Stop being an asshole towards her. You know, have some compassion. And today, I told you, she was on vacation. She was in Colorado. And today I realized, oh my God, I appreciate what I have with her, because I'm going up a wall with all the work that I have taught her. But it was the compassion and it was the patience to teach her. So when I sit there and talk about the fiscalness, the economics, it's finding out how I can relate to them, how I can get them to begin to trust me. See, if you do this, you do this. Oh, by the way, why don't you come to church with me? You know, that's how society and history shows that's how it works. And then you build up a bigger block. Now, part of the problem, I also believe, are our religious leaders. You know, I'm not going to mention names or that, but the names we can mention, you may be too young. There's the Bakers from the 1980s, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, you know, Robertson, you know, all these mega churches and all these, or the preacher from the South who sat there a few years ago was on Twitter. God spoke to me and said, I need a plane. I'm like, really? And there's this flock. Okay. Or my relatives following their pastor. Moving, uprooting their life to move. And you know what the pastor did? He didn't like where he was at. So a couple months later, he moved elsewhere. But here was this family that had uprooted their lives.
You're just diving into the sinfulness of humankind. So,
my whole point. It's humanity. We have to learn how to deal with that.
But we don't compromise on the sin. We call it out and we say, hey, what you're doing or the way you're living, that's not for you. That's not what God had planned for you. Here, let me show you the gospel. Let me preach to you. Let me tell you what Jesus can do to transform you. And in your transformation, guess what? He's going to bless you more than you could ever possibly imagine.
Yes, he will. But why can't we approach it from that angle, though? Because that person is more worried. He's not worried about God and being saved. He's worried about paying the bills. Wrong or right, That's what that person's thinking. So why not? Is this a biblical saying? I always assumed it was. You know, I want to teach you. I know it's a conservative belief. I want to teach you how to fish, not give you the fish.
That's biblical. Yeah. You
know, and that's what I'm talking about. We reach out, teaching. We help them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We help them economically. See, I'm using terms that are political, government, or economic terms. You teach them, you help them. The reason a lot of illegals vote Democrats, because illegals have helped them financially. Wrong or right, I think it's a burden on us taxpayers. But those illegals believe they're not beholden to the Democrat Party. I tell people, if you're drowning in the ocean and the devil tosses you a life preserver, whether you love him or hate him, you're going to be indebted to him. And that's what Democrats do. And my take is we've got to connect with Black Americans, our brethren Latinos, poor working class white Americans. See, people forget about the white trash, as they call them. I grew up in the South, or we moved to the South from Panama. I've seen those people, and I've been friends with those people. So that's what I'm trying to say is there's a process, and fundamentalists don't want to go through the process. It's my way or the highway. And I'm like, well, the track record shows
it's God's way. It's God's way.
It doesn't matter. If they don't care to listen to it, it doesn't matter if it's God's way. And Jesus
then there's nothing we can say. Then there would be nothing we can say to convince them.
There is. When you become friends and they trust you, they're more willing to listen. They're more willing to look for a better life, not for them. Once they're able to put food on the table, what do they look at? They look at their kids. They want a better life for their kids. Well, your kids being taken away from violence. God can show you how to stay away from violence. God can preach the word of looking at one another as human beings, as fellow Christians. You know, God can do that. But day one, they're more worried about putting food on the table. Yeah, and that's an easy example. But it's more, you know, it's more than that. But that's it, because that's what they call Anna. You've heard the term kitchen politics. That is at the end
kitchen
of the day.
Kitchen table.
Kitchen table politics. Thank you for correcting me. It's kitchen table politics. At the end of the day, when push comes to shove, that's what they care about. They're like, honey, how are we going to pay the bill? Well, we got an election coming up. Trump, we were paying the bills with Trump. You know, now with Biden. See, and that's my whole point. That's your entry.
Well, I agree with that. But this is the missing link, though, is that, yes, they're worried about the kitchen table politics, but they're also, that's an opportunity to say, this party is concerned. They're going to help me put bread on the table. Oh, but they're also praying? They're also talking about God? They're talking about Jesus? What's that? Like, that's the part that the Republicans don't think about. They only think about the issue. They only want to drive the issue. And for us, for me as a conservative, as a Christian conservative, I don't consider myself a Republican, first and foremost, at all. I'm a registered Republican, but first and foremost, I'm a Biblican. I follow my godly
principles. I like that.
I'm a conservative. Jesse coined that.
I always tell that to people. I'm a conservative. But here's what you're missing the point. That may be an opening. Statistically, it's going to fail more than work. Like my mother used to do. She would take – my mother helped – dozens and dozens of boat people. And then for people who don't know the term boat people, before you throw the racist card at me, that's what the Vietnamese were called when they crossed the ocean.
Crash off the boat.
Yep. That's what I'm saying now. But when they crossed the ocean, my mother, because the church, you know, they would be processed. The churches would sit there and help some of those people. My mom would take them to a DMV, how to get their license, you know, to how to speak English, which drove me nuts because my mom to this day speaks broken English. And I'm like, why didn't you take a damn class with them, Mom? You know, but she would help them. And then the church would come. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm going to church. I'd like for you to come. And because my mother had helped them, because the biggest fear in the world, first of all, is being a stranger in a new country and not even speaking the language. You know, so because my mom was kind enough to take them to the DMV to help them to sign up for glasses, they were like, yes, Miss Clemencia. That's what they always called her. Yes, Miss Clemencia, I'll go to church. But the church wasn't. Now, my mom wanted it to be the church. She would talk about the church, but she would always take care of them economically, made sure that this is, you know, I don't know about the lib. I think that was all provided, but she would take them to all the essentials so they could get on their feet and survive. In the meantime, she was preaching the word of God, but her primary focus, and my mom is as good a fundamentalist Christian. She has helped hundreds of people. My mom worked a factory job, and God bless my dad, who is not a Christian. He believes in something else, but he never asked her for 1 cent from all the money she earned. She sent every dime to Panama. The only money she did not send, she gave to us for allowance, you know, as a mother, you know. So, but my mother was, she grew to innately understand the process. And that's kind of what bugs me with fundamentalists. And I say bugs, it's not hate or nothing, it's frustration. I'm like, we can win this war easily if we follow the path. Because God is not out of my mind when I do this.
Well, I think the difference is that for someone that maybe doesn't hold the same devout, I guess, beliefs in Jesus, he's not going to be first.
I'm losing you vocally. I can't hear you. I can't.
Hey, can we hear me?
Yeah, there you go. I hear you.
Okay. Sorry. I think for someone like yourself who maybe God or Jesus isn't the first on your lips, and you're thinking about, okay, my bank account, my refrigerator.
I'm thinking about people being able to pay the bills and the basic essentials.
Yeah. Right. So they're not thinking about where that comes from. They're thinking about the, like you said, the right now. Where am I going to get that from? That we don't focus on is that we can combine the both. We can combine the both of them. We can say, look, you're right. This is where the party is going to help you to get the food on the table, the food in the refrigerator, and help you pay your light bill and all that stuff. But you gotta know that all that stuff, where it comes from, it doesn't come from the party. It doesn't come from the government. All of that comes from God. And you know what? I really firmly believe that in the times that we're living right now, people are looking for that. People are looking for something bigger, for something greater, that there's more to life than the now. I think right now, yes, what they're looking right now, where we are living, these times that are just, it's out there. There's no denying that we are in a decline as a nation, as a society, as a human race. We're in a rapid decline. So people that are looking for that hope, like you said, that's where we miss the boat in telling them where the hope is.
And we think that we shouldn't tell them. We think that we should hide Jesus from them, you know, and that we should just tell them, go, we'll give you more money by changing this policy so you can have more money in your pocket.
Right. But that happens because we don't hold him accountable. But to your point, you're right. What did I say when we first started the podcast? I said, I feel like we're at a point where Sodom and Gomorrah were, you know? But that's even strengthens my point. Why take your ball and go home because you feel defeated or because the guy doesn't do what you want him to do? It's an everyday battle. And even the Bible says that it's an everyday battle. I don't remember where, you know, it says it, but we're always battling the evils of the devil incarnate. So we become losers when we go, well, I can't vote for this guy. Well, why not vote for him? Because he aligns to us closely and understand we have to battle him every day. See, that's part of my problem with what I call sycophants, meaning they just love Trump so much they rationalize. Where my take is, no, we don't rationalize what he doesn't do after he's made promises to do. We hold his feet to the fire. We hold his feet to the fire by going to ISA. ISA, we're going to work to find a better candidate if you vote for this bill. Well, that's the bill that Trump wants. Yeah, but that bill doesn't help us. You know, all that bill is a policy change that helps other people. It doesn't bring the goodness, the value, the American dream, the godliness back to us.
See, I agree with that, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't speak out on the national too.
I'm not saying you don't speak out on the national. I'm saying you're more effective at the state and local. I mean, honestly, why do you guys go to the school districts? Because you make a big impact. That's local. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean by the local. Because I laugh. I'm sorry. I laugh and I have no respect for these grassroots. We're going to go over the highway and wave the flag. Woo! Every person that drives under that bridge goes, look at those idiots up there. You know? Mm-hmm. But going to the school board, as you do, That's activism.
Yeah. And we go to City Hall too.
That's what I meant. But that's what I'm talking about. We don't do enough of. I'm sure you've probably noticed it. You see the same people at the school boards or this or that. Boy, but when these people go to go wave the flag over the bridge over the freeway, man, you see all kinds of crowds at times. Or they show the pictures of all the boats going up the river on 4th of July, you know, and I'm like, no, you're
not. Well, I could tell you that from my circle of friends that are Christians who aren't even familiar with the political arena, don't care to be familiar with the political arena, one of the main reasons they're not interested in it because they feel like the politics don't represent their godly values. So they're like, why am I going to even bother? They're godless people. They don't believe in God. I'm like, well, they're not really.
Would Jesus approve that? Would he say,
they're not wrong
and go fight? They are wrong because Jesus would not approve of that. Jesus would be the first one to say, get up. We've got to go battle today. You know, in the military, get up or we could die today. And we lost that mentality. We've been here for an hour 40 minutes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just telling you, this is what that group that we're – I don't agree with that by no means. I don't agree with that.
I'm sorry. I see what you're saying. And that's what we have to fight. That's why I'm part of Lexa, because my point with Lexa is we got to get more involved politically and fight. And you guys are. You guys know
but
the importance of getting others and growing that group, but understanding to get back to God's way, we have to understand how the world operates. It's like my friend's a libertarian, and I'm like, I agree with a lot of your libertarian beliefs, but they're utopian. They're not going to work. You know, they scream end the Fed. I'm like, okay, how are you going to end the Fed? Within the structure. And then they can't answer. You know, so my whole take is it's a process. And Lexa is making a difference. Again, I bring up the school board because that's what I've seen you guys do. Mm-hmm. And that's power. And that's that is the most important battle right now. Because we've lost generations of kids. And we are at the precipice because we've lost those generation of kids.
Well, the only way you're going to get the Christians to agree or to even be remotely interested in fighting the battle that you and I agree on, that it needs to be at the local level politics and then take on the national, is that you need to convince them that as a politician or as a party that you do care about their biblical values and principles, because if you don't and you don't resonate with them and you expect them to still give you the vote because of the policy, they're not going to. They're just not going to vote. And that's the problem, is the Christians are one of the largest demographics of non-voters. They just won't go to the ballot. And that's because they feel like nobody connects with them. Nobody cares about their values. Instead, everybody's worried about the world, everybody else in society. Let's relate to this group, or let's relate to that group, but let's not bring church into it. Let's not talk God. Let's not bring God into it.
You know, I've been blaming the Christians, but part of my fault is I forgot where I always put the ultimate blame. It's the preachers and the pastors. And I told you the tale of when I went up to one here in Escondido. I'm not going to say his name. And I said, look, Trump's not going to enforce the Johnson Act. You can bring speakers. He cared more about his paycheck than standing up for God. And we've lost the church because our pastors and our leaders don't want to talk to politics. So for example, there's that one mega church, and I don't like mega churches, but I guess I have to give him credit. They're involved in politics. They're bringing the word of politics to the people and wanting them to fight. And Trump has done that. Trump has brought the Christians out in force, but he also understands the game of compromise. Maybe not his best decision here. And his people are the ones who change the platform. You know? So, but we're not saying, what the hell did you do? We rationalized it. Oh, no, it wasn't Trump. It was these people. They convinced him that. Well, he's got a mind.
It's according to his beliefs. That. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what I'm trying to tell people. Trump was never a godly person. I don't know if he still is. I think Trump is I'm not saying this is a negative. I'm saying this is how I see Trump as an opportunist. But he's done more good for this country than any other politician since Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. And I was alive, and that was the first president I voted for. Anna, I want to continue this conversation, so I'd like to bring you back on. Martha, yeah. We can never find her.
She'll be back.
Maybe in Justin one day. But I feel part of the reason I'm in this battle now, because I've given up a lot. And God bless my wife. She stuck with me through more thin than thick over the last 10 years now. And I believe what I want to do is help bring – I'm not a saint. I'm not the guy who's going to preach to the choir, you know, but I'm the guy who will have your back, because I'm like, that's the one who I want preaching to us. It's not going to be me, but I will go to war for that person, because that person is spreading the gospel better than I can. And that's what I want to bring the Lexit to go, look, guys, I agree with you, but we need to change our tact here. Not everything, just we need to tweak our process here. You can't, when you're in a position of power, you can't sit there and say, well, I can't vote for him. I believe I'm going to sit there and take him by the cojones and tell him, no, this is my people. This is who you say you represent, and we're going to hold your feet to the fire. Well, how are you going to do that? Isa, I'm coming after you. Well, that's not very godly. Well, the Templars were created because the Muslims invaded Europe and the Christians wanted their lands back. Just because we're God-fearing people and good Christians doesn't mean we're afraid to go to war. And I want to bring that fire back out in the average Christian. Yes, I'm fighting with my partner, and I'm fighting with these elites who say, well, we shouldn't be looking to get these people canceled. And I'm like, they wanted Trump dead. They're posting comments. I wish he had been dead. He wish he had been killed. I want their business to know what kind of employees. William, that's not very godly. You're right. But sometimes, sometimes you got to stand up to the bully and punch him in the nose. And that's what I think we're at now.
You got to call out evil when it's out in the open. You got to call it out, because that's also not being godly. So you got to call it out.
Exactly. And Anna, thank you so much. Real quick, where can people find you about Lexit? I've had it running through the scroll, but where can they find you on Twitter, social media?
Lexit has a website where you can sign up to join us, because we're a national movement. We're all across the U.S. So we're on www.wearelexit.com. You can sign up there. And on social media, we have platforms everywhere. On Facebook, it's Real Lexit. That's the main page. On Instagram, it's Lexit Movement. Twitter, Lexit Movement, or X, I should say. And my personal one is I am AJ911 on Instagram. And Martha is the president. And she is Soul Diego. Or Daughter of the One True God on Instagram. So that's where you can find us.
I will make sure all that is in the notes when we post this. Well, thank you for coming on. I hope to have you on later again. And to everybody else, you can find this podcast and others at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as our own social media platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora, YouTube, and Rumble under their profile, Grumblings Media. To everybody, thank you for taking the time to listen to Anna, Martha, and myself. And until next time, I am William Del Pilar. This is Fired Up. And
God bless you guys.
Hey, everybody. This is Big John from Grumblings Media. And I just want to say thank you for watching our content. If you want to support our efforts here at Grumblings Media, just smash the subscribe button right here, totally free. Or just go ahead and consume more of our great content. Click either one of these two boxes.